Good morning, sir. For the record, would you state your name and ADC number?
Yes, my name is Robert Allen Jr., 157-157.
Mr. Allen, you're appearing for the Arizona Board of Executive Committee for your revocation hearing regarding the approved allegation on your warrant. And based on the information we have, you were notified of this hearing back on November the 16th of this year. Do you remember that notification, sir?
Yes, sir.
It stated, among other things, that you could obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense to represent you, but we don't see one in the room today. Therefore, may we assume that you're going to represent yourself, sir?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, that's correct.
And as you can see, there are four board members participating in your hearing this morning. And they are to my left, which will be to your right, is the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson. To my right is the Honorable Mr. Louis Kiwanis. To his right is the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. We also have in the room with us today Mr. Osborne, who you ought to be able to see now. Mr. Osborne is representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer today, sir. And you also have two supporters in the room today, or advocates for you in the room today. I believe we have your mother and your sister. Am I correct?
Yes.
Will both of you be planning to speak?
I'll speak.
You'll be okay. So I'm going to ask you, when I swear me in, I'm going to ask you to also. Okay, Mr. Allen, Mr. Osborne, and what's your name, the sister?
Paul Allen Cruz.
Okay, do all three of you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God, or do you so affirm? Mr. Allen?
Yes, sir.
Sister?
I do.
I do, sir.
Thank you. As I indicated, Mr. Allen, you do have two allegations on your warrant. I'm going to read them, and once I read them, would you tell me whether they're true or false? The first one reads that you are in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 12D, as demonstrated by your failure to attend and complete substance abuse and mental health treatment on or about November 1st, 2017. Sir, is that true or false?
That would be true.
Okay, sir. The second one reads that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 5, as demonstrated by your engagement in threatening behavior on or about November 1, 2017 at 2501 West Elm Street in Phoenix, Arizona. Is that one true or false, sir?
That would be false.
Okay, since you said that's false, we're going to take testimony from the Department of Corrections as it relates to allegation number 2, and we'll be back to talk with you and move forward, sir. Honorable Mr. Osborne, would you give us some testimony on number 2?
Yes, sir.
Allegation number 2. October 20th, 2017, the defendant signed and administered his Arizona Condition of Supervision that stated he will not engage in any threatening activities of any sort. On November 1st, 2017, Law Officer Jesse Agler received an incident report from the DBA Recovery House that states the defendant was asked to return his room for account of the residents. The defendant was lifting weights and refused to return to his room. The defendant stated it was, quote, bullshit, and he was not going to return to his room. During the incident, the facility manager and another DBA staff member came over to try and de-escalate the incident. The report states that the offender walked out in a threatening manner, stating, we just have to do what needed to be done. Mary Lee Miller, the facility manager, felt threatened by the offender's actions due to the offender walking into her personal space, and he was with weights in his hands. While the staff members were returning to the office, the offender called them making disrespectful statements. The defendant stated that he was not going to take orders from anyone, and said, I am going to do what the fuck I need to do, and this is bullshit. Phoenix police were called to have the offender removed from the property. Officer Jesse Adler received a discharge letter from the Blueprint Recovery House, 11-2-17. It states the offender was discharged on 11-1-17 for failing to comply with DBA policies and procedures and for threatening and intimidating staff on 11-1-17. The offender was discharged from the DBA Recovery House due to his threatening behavior on 11-1-17.
Thank you, sir. And I believe that we also have a statement from Ms. Miller as well. That's dated on November 1st, 2017, although we don't have a signature, but we do have her statement. Am I correct, sir?
Yes, sir. The Bureau Incident Report dated 11-117 is attached to the exhibit.
Thank you so much, sir. Okay, Mr. Allen, why is allegation number two false, sir?
Well, on 11-117, I was involved in an argument with Ms. Miller. That was in no way at any time assaulted, violent, or threatened of any sort. Neither I nor Ms. Miller acted accordingly that evening. Most importantly, though, I was in the wrong. I allowed my pride to get in the way of my better judgment when I had the opportunity to walk away. I admit I struggled at times with conducting myself in those situations more maturely. As a result of spending the combined total of half my life in brilliant institutions, at times I'm not as mature as I'd like to be, but I'm learning how to be every day. I was recently diagnosed with having PTSD. I'm taking 80 milligrams of geodone daily to help me combat my emotional problems, outbursts of anger, and ill-will issues, among others associated with PTSD. I see now how today that was a valuable lesson to be learned. I've missed out on my holidays with my family and loved ones. I'm missing out on work. I sit here today pleading for my freedom.
Okay, right now we just want you to explain why it's false, because if we go into phase two, you'll have an opportunity to give the board further information, sir.
Okay, well, just what I said, it was an argument, but I didn't threaten anybody. I did not threaten anybody.
Okay, thank you, sir. Okay, any questions or any discussion by board members that relates to allegation number one, whether it's true or false? Okay, false in this case, hearing none. At this time, I'm going to offer a motion, and my motion is going to be that based upon allegation number one, that will be based upon the admission of Mr. Allen. As it relates to allegation number two, that will be based upon information contained in warrant number 2017W3702, as well as the testimony coming from the Department of Corrections, letter from V-Ray, as well as testimony coming from Mr. Allen. And my motion is for both, is to find that Mr. Allen did violate the terms and conditions of his supervision, that he was delinquent, that he had or may have lapsed into criminal ways or company, and that is my motion.
Second.
Agreed.
A motion by myself, seconded by Ms. Rittenhouse, and agreed by Mr. Johnson and Mr. Kiwanis. You have been found in violation of the terms and conditions of your supervision. Now, sir, we're going into phase two of your hearing. In phase two, the board will make a determination whether to revoke your community supervision or to return you to the community. We're going to ask you to remain quiet as we receive some testimony on your background that will be given to us by Mr. Osborne, and then we'll be back with you to talk with you and the board will, so that the board can make its determination. Mr. Osborne, sir.
Yes, sir. Mr. Allen was released from DLC custody on November 17th of 2016. He was arrested on November 2nd of 2017 at the Felton Parole Office on a tech violation and was returned back to custody that same day to zero conduct with a community supervision end date of May 2nd, 2018. During conviction, 2007, aggravated assault, 10 years. 2007, misconduct involving weapons, 10 years. 2007, marijuana violation, 3 years, 9 months. Prior convictions, 2001, WD transportation, 2 years, 6 months. And 2001, aggravated assault, 1 year, 6 months. He's had 3 terms in DOC, has a CUIR score of 4.4, a mental health score of 3, and a substance abuse score of 3. There is SCG and information of the brains. And on October 15th of 2003, he admitted to associating with the street gang Westside City Crips. Prior terms of supervision, 2003, TIS tech violator, arrested by NCSO for burglary second degree, returning to custody to revoke. May of 17, TIS absconder, 13 days, continuing with many conditions. August of 17, BOEC reinstated absconder 2 days, extending it with amended conditions, and push 1117, Felix and Green State violator, awaiting this hearing. As a significant disciplinary history with violence and drugs, other arrests, 1994, shoplifting, AZ juvenile probation, 1996, criminal damage, AZ juvenile probation, 1996, marijuana violation, AZ juvenile probation, 1996, theft, AZ juvenile detention, 1996, burglary, AZ juvenile detention, 1996, swipe of law vehicle, AZ juvenile detention, 1999, theft, California unknown, and 1999, unauthorized use of vehicle, California unknown, and he has a community risk score of G5-D6.
Okay, thank you so very much, Mr. Osborne. Okay, just for some background information, that we do observe that when you were released, sir, and I believe you were released by the Board of Executive Diplomacy, but when you were released, you were to go to TLC, and then you were approved thereafter to go to 3135 North 34th, and then you were approved to go to 1629 West Osborne, and then to V-Ray, and it was at V-Ray where we had the situation there at V-Ray. I also would take note, sir, that you did show some employment while you were out. How long were you employed, sir, while you were out? We showed that you were at the union as a stagehand. Well, how long were you employed there, sir?
Yes. Yes, I've been with the union 3 days when I got out on 11-16, and I got the job within 72 hours of getting out of prison, and I've had that job since I've been out of prison.
Okay, sir. Well, we're glad that you was able to find employment, sir. And we do take note that you had a number of negatives, UAs, while you were out. However, the thing that caught my attention was that on May the 19th, 2017, you were positive for something called methamphetamine. What happened, sir? Did you relapse, or what happened there, sir?
That was the first time I've ever done that drug, and I was going through a lot of depression, and I hadn't been diagnosed with any, or I don't know how you would call it, like any symptom or problem. Then, afterwards, I had got help through Terrell's, and I got found for having PTSD, and I take medication to help combat that now.
How long have you had PTSD, sir? How long have you been diagnosed with it, sir?
Oh, it's been about 60 days now.
So that's something recent?
Yes, sir.
Have you been given any medication to assist you with that, sir?
Yes, I'm currently taking Geodone, 80 milligrams once daily.
I'm just curious, why were you evaluated and the diagnosis was that you had PTSD, and that was just 60 days ago. But what happened that you were all of a sudden found to have it?
What happened? Why did I take it?
Yes, sir. Why did you have to have an assessment? Why did they find that? Find that you had that situation, sir.
I wanted help with my depression.
Well, how long had you had depression, in your opinion, sir?
Well, I probably think, honestly, since I was a little kid.
So you volunteered to have the to have that assessment. So you went because you was having depression, so you went and said, I want to be evaluated to see what's wrong, and that's how they came up with that, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, sir. Let me also ask this question, sir, and please explain, although you already admitted to it, I admit that I'm going back to allegation number one, but you failed to attend and complete substance abuse and mental health treatments on November the 1st, 2017. Why did you not complete those programs, sir?
I admitted to that because I had got locked up at the parole office. Prior to me getting apprehended at the parole office, I was going to all the counseling sessions for BBC and the one-on-one sessions. And I was going to Terrell's on my own behalf additionally for more treatment for mental health. So I agreed in part that that was, I got locked up, so therefore I could not complete the treatment. Prior to that, I was going to all the programs and necessary appointments.
But sir, according to our records, that you had been out, since November of last year, and you're just now getting ready to go into the program, sir?
No, I had been taking them. I was in anger management. That was the first one. And I couldn't complete that because I violated. And then I got back out and went to the other treatment programs. And it's the same thing. I always go to all the programs. I just have not been able to complete them yet. That's been the only trouble.
Okay, and the other one that I know you've already explained it, but explain it to the board again, and to me in particular. Well, why did you end up using methamphetamine, in as much as this board had made it very clear to start the revocation process on the first positive misuse of drugs and all of a sudden now you were using methamphetamine. And this board here, not necessarily these same women, but this board here had, that was one of the conditions that this board had placed upon you, sir. Why did you violate that, sir?
I haven't used any of those drugs, sir, and since I got the dirty, which was in November 19th, and you guys, the board specifically, that was after that. So, I haven't done anything prior. I've done something prior to that, but not afterwards. No, I've not done any drugs after the 19th of that 38. I've done no drugs, sir.
You've done no drugs after when, sir?
After the first 38. The first one was in, the one you referred to, the methamphetamine usage, was
yes, sir.
In May.
Yes, I
haven't
May.
Done anything. I haven't done anything after that, no.
You haven't done anything after that, okay.
No, sir. No dirty ways, nothing.
So what are you doing before this board today, sir? You're saying to this board, now if I hear you correct, you haven't done any drugs, you were reincarcerated before you completed your mental health and substance abuse programming. So why do you think you're appearing before this board now, sir?
I think, honestly, I think it was a bad call. This lady said that I did some things that I did not do. And fortunately, she had the authority, and I was being stupid, and I could have walked away, and I didn't. And as a result, I sit here in front of you guys today.
Did you use that profanity that was found in her statement, sir?
I don't recall those words verbatim. And it was a while ago, so I can't sit here and say what was said and what wasn't said because I wouldn't be truthful.
Okay, so you don't recall whether you used the F word or not. So that's just not in your. You don't recall that at all. So.
No, I wouldn't speak to a woman like that, no, sir.
As you said, that's been a long time ago. That was November 1st of this year when that happened. Okay. At this point, I'm going to see if other board members might have some questions for you, sir. Distinguished board members, any questions, Mr. Allen? Honorable Mr. Jellison, sir.
Sir, there's a statement in there that says basically that you made a statement that you was not going to take any orders anymore, and that you was going to do what you wanted to do. Is that right?
That's absolutely false.
That's false?
I think we take orders every day, whether we choose to or not. And for me to have come out of my mouth, I believe that's false.
Okay, that's just a statement that we have actually in the report. So let me ask you a question. So my understanding that while you were at Greenberry, they asked you to come inside so that they could do a count, and you refused to go inside, or you were getting ready to go inside. What happened? Can you explain that to me in your words?
I don't know what happened. I don't even know if that's what it was behind. I know that I was with the race, which was true. I don't even know how the argument started. And I just know that I was involved in an argument with the woman, Miss Miller, and one thing led to another. I can't recall what it was about, sir. I'm sorry.
So you attended and completed the anger management, or you got incarcerated before you finished the anger management, is that right?
Yes, I did, sir, yes.
So
I didn't have an opportunity.
So have you had the opportunity to attend since you've been out anger management?
No, they had me in substance abuse and mental health, like to help with depression and stuff, but no, not the anger management, no, sir.
So I think so you are about 36 years old?
35,
36.
Yes.
Okay, so how long have you been incarcerated total time, sir?
More than half my life.
Uh-huh. So do you understand that sometimes just the sound of your voice or your demeanor could be to some people threatening, even though you may not feel like that? Do you understand that?
Yes, I've been speaking to my mother about that through mail and on the telephone, and I realized that more so today than I did maybe a year ago.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Johnson. Any further questions by board members at this time? Before we go further, we're going to ask, I believe this is the sister, if she might come forward. Please, ma'am.
Good morning.
Would you state your name for the record?
Yes, Paul Allen Cruz.
And you do recognize the fact that you are on the oath. Let's speak it on the oath. Yes. Okay, so what do you want to tell the board, ma'am?
What I want to say to the board today is that when he got out this last time, when the board reinstated his parole, he was doing very well. He was working. I have two paycheck stubs here from the union. One company he was with, he was making $21 an hour. And then the second company he was with, he was doing $24 an hour. So when Robert was out this last time, he was, in my opinion, doing very well. He was taking his medication. He was training with the union to go on full-time down at the Gamage Theater. So he was in training to do all the stages, the curtains when they come back and forth. So he was doing that. He was taking his medication regularly. And he was not drinking or using. So the last time he came up against the parole board, some of his behavior and his actions, in my personal opinion, weren't of the best interest for him. But this last time he was out, that's why I'm here today, because he was doing very well. And I always told Robert, if you're out here and you're doing well, I'm going to support you. But if you're out here and you're not doing well, I can't support you. So I work with people every day. I've been with Taros as a behavioral health case manager technician for the last 6 years. So I don't have in my life any room for substance abuse, for anger, for any of that. Because last time when he got out, I did personally notice a change in my brother. He was doing well. I would pick him up on the weekends. Him and my kids are very close, especially my daughter. And so I took him out, and we got halfway to the mall, and he was like, this is what I noticed a change. This is what I told my mom. We got halfway to the mall, and he was like, oh, we got to go back. I need my medication. And for me, that's big, because this is a person that has spent his entire life in prison, and forgive me. He doesn't have the social skills or the wherewithal as a person that was, you know, in society to behave in such a way. Like, you look at him, and he is big, and he is scary, and I talked to him a lot about it. I said, Robert, you come off as very intimidating, but if you really knew him personally, he's really not like that. He's super sweet, and he doesn't cuss at all, which is odd that all that was said. I mean, when we're just, you know, in family time, whatever, I use more profanity than he does, so for him to say all that is strange to me, but, you know, he wanted to take his medication. He wanted to do well. He still has all his furniture from the last time he was out. He was able to maintain a house, and he was really proud of all that stuff, and we have that stuff in storage for when he's able to get his home again. And I just think, personally and professionally, that this is a person that needs severe trauma therapy, daily medication, and the services that he was in prior to him, whatever transpired at the halfway house. You know, I wasn't there. There's always two sides of the story, but he needs more than what I think the Department of Corrections can give him, you know? And so this last time, he was really making the changes to be a productive member of society, but you have a 36-year-old man who is really operating at my 15-year-old son's level, you know, as far as impulse control, reaction to the world. So I believe that he got the help that he needed, that he could be very productive. He wants to work. He wants to do well. But continuously locking him up, to me, is, you know, it's not good. It's damaging for self-esteem, and he has to get back out. He has to do this and that. And it's you know, it's probably taxing on his soul. But what I have done is I went to TLC where he was before when he left there the last time. He didn't left there, he didn't owe any money. He paid them up for it. They could not write a letter of recommendation because they're just not able to do that, and that they would take Robert back. And if they didn't have room for him, that they would make room for him. Me and my mom went over there and talked to them. The place he was at where all this altercation took place, they said he could go back there too if they had room or whatever, but they can't write any letters of recommendation. So, I mean, overall, I wouldn't be standing here today if I didn't think that he was, you know, making some serious, I felt serious changes when he was out this last time. But I do work part-time. I teach group fitness at Mountside Fitness, and he was working so many hours. I did get him a membership there just so he could work out. He could do the HIIT classes, weights, whatever they had to offer, because I can do a membership for somebody for free, but he hadn't got out the time to get the picture taken, and then, hell, I don't know, my mom's like, well, he's, you know, violated, so I mean, I have tried to support him and put things into place that he could be successful, if that makes sense. So I do have his paycheck stubs, copies if you guys want to see that, but, you know, I don't know, I think Robert, you know, I think that he needs the help that Terrell's can give him, you know, and so I know that he was growing and I know that he was trying, and for him to take the medication, it's huge, but I noticed the change with him on the medication. He's not so angst, like he has a lot of anxiety, he gets like riled up, and he's just, the thought process and the focus isn't where it should be, but when he was on the medication, he was really relaxed. We went to the mall, we had lunches, you know, like I said, he wanted to go to work, he wanted to do good, you know, so, really, that's all I have to say. I mean, I don't know if you guys have any questions, or if you want to see the
picture. Any questions for Ms. Allen, board members?
Okay, do you guys want these, or?
No, we admit that he'd been working, that's part of the record already.
And then I just want to say real quick, the landlady that did rent to him last time when he was over on, Osborne Avenue, we did speak to her, and she said as long as he had the deposit, she would always rent to him again. She liked him there, and that he kept his unit clean. So, I mean, he's got things in place. He just has to get out and be responsible and aware of how he shows up to people. So, I mean, that's all I have. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so very much. Okay. Mr. Osborne, before we go into discussion, I have a question for you, sir.
Yes, sir.
I do take note that the Phoenix Police Department was contacted. Do your records show that Mr. Allen contacted his CO3, his parole officer to indicate that he had contact with Phoenix Police Department?
Yeah, I have no information on any contact with the police.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Mr. Chairman?
Okay, yes, Honorable Ms.
May I ask Mr. Osborne something, too? And maybe I didn't write this down correctly, but Mr. Allen was on a church and sentencing release in 1917, and I'm sworn in for 13 days. And then I wrote below that that he was reinstated and absconded again for 2 days, or did I get that wrong?
Well, I'll put our notes and everything on our system from warrants, names, and frontal notes. It was a TI violator in 2003.
Okay. Right.
In May of 17, found of 13 days. He was out in August of 17, 2 days.
And now, so this is the third time. So this is the third time he's back. Okay. Okay, I just wanted to clarify.
Thank you so very much for clarifying that. Before we go back to Mr. Allen, any further questions from Mr. Allen or from Mr. Osborne? Hearing no questions at this time, 5-1. Mr. Allen, we're coming towards the end of your hearing, but we do want to give you an opportunity, since this is your hearing, to make a final statement to the board before the board goes into discussion and makes this decision today. So what else you want to tell the board without repeating yourself, sir?
Okay, I just wanted to say that I see now how valuable a lesson I had to learn. I've missed out and will miss out on the holidays with my family and loved ones. I'm missing out on work. I sit here pleading for my freedom, as time is very precious and irreplaceable. If faced with this situation or one similar, I'll know exactly what to do, which is simply walk away, whether right or wrong. It's about being mature and making the right decisions. I would like you to know that I did not scam on this time, that I did in fact notify Mr. Agler that evening of what had transpired at Beaver Ray. I left him a text message, told him I'd be there first thing in the morning at the parole office. I took off work and I was there where I was apprehended. While at Beaver Ray, I got my phase 2 in 5 days, which allows me to go to work and spend time with my family on the weekends. That process usually takes 2 to 3 weeks. I was back to work on the 6th day. With the union, I still have my job. I was attending the BBC groups and one-on-one counseling sessions as necessary and needed. I was going to Terrell, as I said, and my sister said, on my own behalf. I had no positive UAs. I'm still motivated in the positive mind frame, spiritually and mentally. I still have enough time left on parole to complete some type of treatment. I know I can do it and I want to do it. If given the chance today, I'd like to get back to with my family and being and living productive as I know I can be and was before this occurs. And that's all I have to say. Thank you very much for everything.
Okay, thank you.
This morning.
Thank you so very much, sir. At this time, the board is going into discussion. We're going to ask that you remain quiet. It may sound as if we're talking to you or to your family and supporters, but we're not. We're just talking among ourselves. And as part of the open meeting laws of the state of Arizona, everything that we do will be done in public. We've not discussed this situation this morning before you coming before this board. So at this time, the board is in discussion, and we will move forward. This is a very unfortunate situation that we're dealing with Mr. Allen. I feel that it's one of those situations that he was brought back before this board because of this, what was reported to be this engagement in threatening behavior on November the 1st, 2017. At V-Ray, to be sure, as my interpretation is, the incident itself involved Mr. Allen and Ms. Miller. However, V-Ray, and we have no reason to know whether it's true, false, or indifferent, but V-Ray had provided a list of 4 witnesses who they maintain observed this. Well, I guess 3, because Ms. Miller's included 3 witnesses that observed this, and that they feel this, that they, as it relates to the statement that V-Ray raised. I think that for some reason, and I'm not sure why, maybe it's because of his being incarcerated over half of his life, as he stated. What the situation is, because I'm not a psychologist, I'm not a social worker, I'm not none of those areas of expertise. But for some reason, he has just not been successful in adjusting to community supervision. That's something that really concerns me. He's had the opportunity, and I believe that Mr., if I heard Mr. Osborne correct, through occasion in 17, that opportunity existed in each time, and, you know, and that disturbs me, and secondly, I'm disturbed because he's appearing before this board again, and I just don't like to see anyone coming before this board again. As my distinguished colleague, the Honorable Mr. Kawanis would say, I'm going to stop at this point, and that's where the discussion will begin. Board members, any discussion by board members at this time? Yes, Honorable Mr. Johnson.
That's right. I'm, for the most part, in agreement, but in the report, it does say that Ms. Allen was... felt threatening because of his mannerism. And I think that after listening to his sister speak, and, you know, I know some people that their mannerism and the way they talk and the way they sound just can make you feel threatening and intimidating. And you can tell by the sound of his voice now, the way he's talking. I know he doesn't mean any harm, but, you know, it could be interpreted as being threatening or intimidating. And I think his mom and his family is working with him on that. He didn't do any more drugs. He was working. He's continuing to work. And that mannerism is something that he has to work on. And I think he could better work on that if he's not incarcerated, because that's something that he has to adjust to and work on. That he has volunteered to go to, I don't want to say a task, but it's not a task, Carol's, I believe it is, to take his medications, and if he stays on his medication, he may work on that. So I am supportive of trying to give Mr. Allen another opportunity to work on it. But I do know that sometimes people have bad mannerism, and that's something that's just hard to work on, and to get them to understand that, you know, the sound of your voice, the way that you look, the way that you talk can be threatening and intimidating to people at times. And they could be the nicest person in the world, but if their mannerism is bad, then it just comes off that way. And I think that Mr. Allen stating that he recognizes that, and that, you know, he has to learn to just to walk away. But the report does state that, you know, it was his mannerism that was threatening to Ms. Allen, and he walked into her space. He didn't say that he threatened her to do any harm to her, to physically assault her or do anything like that. But because this is mainly his mannerism, I'm not opposed to him having been reinstated.
Thank you so very much, Honorable Mr. Johnson. Discussion by all the board members. Honorable Mr. Cohen,
I'll keep it short. This is one of those situations where I feel both sides of this. I think Mr. Johnson makes a very good point, because I'm thinking about this in terms of how things have unfolded for Mr. Allen, especially considering that he's on, or at least trying to stay on medication to help him with some personal issues. Yet, I have that same concern with his history, the fact that he was given an opportunity to return to community supervision. And, I mean, we're really looking for people to adhere to these conditions when we give them that second chance. And third chances start getting a little hard. But I am by no means dismissive of what Mr. Johnson said, because I hear him. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much, Uncle, sir. Ms. Rittenhouse, anything you want to share with the board?
I agree with that. The warrant here indicates that Mr. Allen is 6'2" tall. So, you know, I mean, he's a big guy. You can tell just to look at him, he's a big guy. So
and assertive.
But I'm concerned about the fact that this would be a third chance. I know he's got a lot of support with his sister, because I know Taros, and they do good work. But I don't know, I'm still just concerned about the two previous.
Okay, thank you so very much.
Thank you.
I'm going to offer a motion, and as we all know, that there's always room for a counter motion. Initial motion is going to be based upon information contained in warrant number 2017W3702, as well as the discussion that has taken place this morning, as well as the fact that Mr. Allen has appealed before this board before. My motion is going to be to revoke community supervision based upon the same.
I'll second.
I agree.
I disagree.
Okay. Motion was seconded by Ms. Rittenhouse, agreed by Mr. Kiwanis, and disagreed by Mr. Johnson. Sir, your community supervision has been revoked. We do understand your situation, and we do recognize the fact that you do have support from your sister and your mother, but your constant behavior, and as Mr. Johnson has stated, sometimes because of size and so forth, we all have to sometimes kind of not respond, but you will be released on about May 2nd of 2018. Sir, this will end your hearing.
Right.
Thank you for your participation, sir. Thank you, sir. Please